Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and yes, Monday. Can't trust that day. Alohas to you. This is a showdown week in Washington. We'll see whether the president ends up having to declare a national emergency to get funding for his border wall. And it certainly looks that way. But there's good news on that front, by the way, which we'll share with you. Great to have you along after a really wintry Sunday yesterday and the debut of spring football. Yeah, that Alliance of American Football. And the game they had on CBS the other night actually had higher ratings than a pretty good NBA matchup. But, you know, a lot of curiosity at the start of the new league. And then next spring, of course, Vince McMahon has his new spring league that'll be starting. So a lot of people suffering football deprivation probably tuned in to see what the new AAF was like. Not bad for a brand new product, I guess. So here we go, getting underway on Monday. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and take part in the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063. If you prefer to text me, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307, and my email address, bob@1063word.com. Stephen Dinan of the Washington Times put out a note on Friday that is relevant to what we're going to be seeing as we proceed along towards the 15th, when that's when push comes to shove, on whether the Democrats are able to negotiate funding for President Trump's border wall. And look, realistically, you know as well as I do, they're not even seriously negotiating. And the stuff that they're asking for is a non-starter. For instance, just in the last day or two, the president tweeted that crazy Democrats are trying to stop ICE from deporting illegals, which is, of course, the central part of what they do. But, you know, the further left the Democrats go, the better I like it. There is a stark and marked contrast between the ideas for the future going forward for America that who is knocking on the wall? Somebody's knocking on the studio. Are they trying to get in? It might be, I don't know, there's no telling. Maybe it's the same FBI riot gear clad squad that came after Roger Stone, and now it's my turn. We'll see. But the stark contrast that was presented by President Trump in his State of the Union address the other night, and then that horrible State of the Union response from Stacey Abrams, the failed gubernatorial candidate in Georgia. That says it all. You know, you pick some. Why not get Beto O'Rourke up there? He lost as well. That's all they have is losers. And all they do is go push further and further left, more socialist slash Marxist agenda, as opposed to what President Trump had to say about making America great again. Now, I mentioned this piece from the Washington Times on Friday. If President Trump were to declare a border emergency and use the Pentagon to build his border wall, Congress would not be able to muster the votes to block him, said Kevin McCarthy on Friday. McCarthy's comments could stiffen spines at the White House, where Mr. Trump is pondering whether to use emergency powers to construct more border fencing if he doesn't win funding from Congress. And look, you know as well as I do, the Pelosis and Schumers of the world are never going to allow Trump to have any money to build a wall because it greases the skids towards his winning the presidency for a second term in 2020. President would be able to go out to the campaign trail and say, look, I told you this was my number one priority, building the wall. And we're building it. Mission accomplished. All right. Without the imagery that brings up of George W. Bush on an aircraft carrier. If the president did use emergency powers, Congress could attempt to overturn it by voting for a resolution of disapproval. That would require majority votes in either chamber, but let's assume for a moment it passes in the House where the Democrats run things, and let's assume there are enough squishy Republicans in the Senate that they go along and pass it as well. Well, then it goes to the White House for the president's signature, where, of course, Donald J. Trump would promptly veto it. And Congress would then have to muster two-thirds of the votes in the House and the Senate to override the veto and prevail. McCarthy said he doesn't think that's going to happen. Now, I'm not a big fan of Kevin McCarthy. I think he's a bit of a rhino himself. He's not as bad as Paul Ryan, but, you know, he's in the same zip code. But I think his assessment of this situation is exactly right. Okay. Meantime, the Democrats continue to step in it from one turn after the other. Oh, what is this in now? Here's a new tweet. No, it's actually a news story from the Washington Times. You know that this wacko Omar, the Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota. I said it right the first time. There's one from Michigan and one from Minnesota. Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, she's now apologizing for sending anti-Semitic tweets while reaffirming her criticism of pro-Israel lobbyists. Anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on this painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my constituents of Jewish Americans as a whole. She's just going to offend them individually. This is why I unequivocally apologize. Everybody from Pelosi to you name it, the ghost of FDR, has criticized her. She came under a massive wave of bipartisan backlash today after she implied that pro-Israel lobbyist groups, such as the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, were using campaign contributions to influence U.S. lawmakers. Essentially, she said that AIPAC was buying votes. Republicans have repeatedly condemned her past remarks, and on this latest controversy, dozens of Democrats spoke out against the congresswoman and said her comments were anti-Semitic. Speaker Pelosi and other top-ranking Dems published a joint statement as criticism mounted, calling on Ms. Omar to apologize. Ms. Omar stressed her criticism of problematic lobbyists, specifically citing AIPAC. So, this is another one. You know, they're having a race to the finish line to see who can do the most stupid things in their freshman terms in Congress. And so far, it appears that it's almost a photo finish, almost but not quite, because of course Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has already established a big lead and a firm hold on first place as biggest doofus in Congress. And they get caught again, as if it wasn't bad enough. They put out that stupid Green New Deal that called for government payments for people who are unwilling to work, and then they denied they said that. now they had to walk back. They had claimed, well, that was a false document that was put out by the GOP. Nice try. Don't they know once you put something out on the web, it's there forever? Somebody's going to take a screenshot to be able to prove you're lying. Take a quick break here. We'll run down the really bad weekend for AOC, not to mention the really bad weekend for every politician who has a D behind their name in Virginia. All that and more is on the way. 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show on Monday. Welcome back. 3:21 here on the Bobby Mack Show, Monday edition. Really bad weekend. Well, it's a really bad rollout for the Green New Deal. It became a laughingstock almost overnight with their references to cow flatulence and not using nuclear power, going net zero emissions within 10 years. If we can get it done that quickly until we reach the point with new rail travel where airplanes for travel no longer become necessary. Yeah, book me on that train from Wichita, Kansas to Paris, okay? Jeez. February 5th, the Congressional Office of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez posted a new blog entry under energy issues detailing her much-anticipated Green New Deal and answering FAQs, frequently answered questions. The page, announcing an 8:30 a.m. launch on February 7th, has now vanished from the web. A top advisor suggesting Friday was actually authored and distributed by the GOP. Nice try. By the afternoon of February 7th, Ocasio-Cortez removed the document from her website without explanation, but following backlash and ridicule over the radical plans outlined within it, including a call to eliminate emissions from cows and eliminate air travel. To eliminate emissions from air travel, which would functionally ban it. And to provide economic security for all who are unable or unwilling to work. Well, when the backlash started, the document vanished just hours after she and Ed Markey, a Democrat, Massachusetts, formally unveiled a Green New Deal resolution that so far has attracted 67 Democrat co-sponsors in the House. Misery loves company, I guess. It's a non-binding measure that is less detailed than the now-deleted FAQ document, but calls for a complete and speedy overhaul of the nation's energy, transportation, and farming sectors in order to eliminate carbon emissions in the coming decades. The communications staff has not responded to an inquiry about the now-missing blog post, but on Saturday morning, AOC's chief of staff, Saikat Chakrabarty, tweeted that the FAQ page was indeed posted by Cortez's staff, but was done so in error. He called the page an early draft of an FAQ that was clearly unfinished and doesn't represent the Green New Deal resolution published to the website by mistake. AOC later Saturday admitted the same, tweeting to a Washington Post reporter, there was also a draft version that got uploaded, then taken down. There's also draft versions floating out there. Well, policy advisor to AOC went on Fox News Friday to claim that there was some kind of hoax perpetrated by the Republicans, and that's where the cow flatulence and doing away with aircraft came from. Robert Hockett, who's a real twit, he's another Ivy League professor of law and finance at Cornell University, was on with Tucker Carlson, and he called the contents of the now missing blog post some kind of document that somebody other than us has been circulating. So, see, he was claiming this thing was not done by them at all. Professor Hockett said AOC does not endorse the idea of paying people unwilling to work and is not does not want to ban airplane travel. He said AOC tweeted it out to laugh at it. Funny it was presented in a dead serious fashion. He added, it seems apparently some Republicans have put it out there. Hockett may have been referring to the AOC tweet on Friday of a doctored version of the blog post by a frequent tweeter and humorist David Burge and others that called for recycling urine to conserve water. It was a satirical piece. When your Green New Deal legislation is so strong that the GOP has to resort to circulating false versions, but the real one nets 70 House co-sponsors on day one and all Democrat presidential candidates sign on anyway. She again referred to doctored versions in her tweet on Saturday, though she did not address why the original post on her website, which initially said, "We aren't sure that we'll be able to fully get rid of farting cows and airplanes that fast," was apparently later updated to instead include the emissions language, was edited and removed. Chakrabarty tweeted a link Saturday to the green economy group New Consensus, which has authored an explainer of the Green New Deal. It's been out a day, and they're already having to offer walkbacks and explanations. Don't worry, policy details are coming. As for the blog post, it has not been restored to her congressional website, but is available via archive, and the text is saved online. Okay. So look, it's obvious. They put it out there. They were embarrassed by it, talking about cow flatulence and doing away with airplane travel. And so now they're having to try and put a decent face on it. After having lied and said, no, this was something put out by the GOP. This wasn't us. To the phones we go, and Lou in Campobello is our leadoff batter here on Monday. Hi, Lou. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bobby. I just want to say there's two very, very large Muslim enclaves in this country. I don't know if they're the largest, but they're probably certainly in the top five. One is in Dearborn, Michigan. The other one is in Minnesota, Minneapolis. So does anybody have a hard time believing that that enclave in Minneapolis voted for a Muslim rep, and that Muslim rep, you know, unbeknownst to anybody, is disrespecting Israel?
I mean, can you? What a surprise, huh?
And some people have that. They also in Minneapolis want Sharia law, but they can't quite pull it off. You know, except for the large enclave in Minneapolis, how do you elect an openly Sharia law confessing Muslim to be in our government? I mean, are we the stupidest people in the world?
Yeah.
Or at least in the top three?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, here's we want to talk about all the abuses of our immigration law in this country. Did you know, because of all the unrest in Somalia, if you are a Somalian citizen and you want to come to the United States, you can claim that you are being persecuted in Somalia, and they let you in without any vetting whatsoever, which is why the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul have so many Somalis living there, and I guess in large measure also explains Dearbornistan in Michigan.
I haven't been to Ford's headquarters in Dearborn in about 3 years, but the last time I went there, you could hear the call to prayer.
Yeah.
At least three times during the workday, morning, afternoon, early evening. Now, I was probably in meetings. I couldn't hear them all. So you can hear the call to prayer. However, in Dearborn, they were taking flack because they had a nativity in one of the parks.
Right.
So does that tell you where our heads are with political correctness and when they pull them out, how bad they stink?
It's a terrible situation, and allowing things to happen in this way, where the Islamic invasion that's ongoing is being presented as well. But they have religious freedom. Yeah, but Islam is not only a religion; it is a social construct, and
it's
something has got to be done. And if it's not, we're never gonna win the White House again. Lou, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. There's a big story that I have on that today, too, about the illegals and how they're influencing voting patterns in places that have been historically Republican for a long time. Take a break for the news here. 3:30 on the Bobby Mac Show. Be back on the other side as soon as Annie brings us up to speed here on WORD. It's Monday, so we're going to get down and then see if we can get back up again, which is always a challenge. 3:37. Moneypenny couldn't help but laugh at that one. 23 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. We are going to talk some gun news today as well, so stand by for that. First of all, let's go back to the phones and bring in Pat, who joins me from Union. Hi, Pat. How's your Monday?
Oh, it's great.
Excellent.
Husband's got a job.
He does?
Yep, 70 years old and going back to work.
Wow, good for him, a man after my own heart.
Well, let me tell you about Livonia, Michigan. That's where my father lives.
Okay.
Oregon Avenue. And you are not allowed to do any work on the outside of your house without having a union contract.
God!
You will be fined and forced to take down whatever was put up. Now, you know the show, Homes for Veterans?
Yes, yeah.
They went out to Michigan. They went in and out and redid this disabled veteran's home for
uh-huh.
his wife and his children.
Very nice.
Michigan said, oh, no. We've got to raise your taxes 3 times what they were.
The taxes on the house because of the improvements that were done?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They couldn't afford it, so they threw them out of the house and sold it.
You know, we talk about creeping socialism. There are places in this country where, you know, like California, San Francisco, places in Washington and Oregon, socialism already has more than their nose under the tent.
Oh, yeah. They are. I was totally flabbergasted.
I remember a number of years ago, Pat, there was a group of people. And I'm trying to remember specifically what it was they did. It seems like they were doing some kind of sewing out of their home. They were making some kind of clothing out of this group of individuals who were all doing it out of their homes. And the unions came along and told them they had to unionize, right? And they passed a law that said they did have to unionize. And then, of course, they had to pay dues. And, of course, the union dues go right to promoting the same Democrat politicians who created their problem in the first place. It's a never-ending cycle.
Yes. It's unbelievable. I don't know how they can get away with that stuff. Come in your house and tell you how to do it. Tell you what to do outside your house.
You know, there was a great piece. I'll have to go back and find it. It was an op-ed piece that was written, I believe, on Friday, maybe Thursday last, by a woman who is an immigrant from China. And in it, she spelled out what it was like in China during the real tyranny of Chairman Mao. She said, you know, they tell you where you're going to live. They tell you what clothing you're going to wear. You go down every month and you get a certificate to go get some food. And that's all the food you have for the month, and you have to eat whatever it is they give you. You have to do the job they send you to. I mean, every facet of their life was controlled by the almighty state. And then, of course, the Chinese realized, well, look, we're not going to be able to subsist like this. You saw what happened to the old Soviet Union. So they modified their system to allow some capitalism. And look what's happened to them since.
Well, in between there, they decided every family is only going to be allowed one child.
Correct. Yep.
And if it's a girl, they killed it.
Yeah. It's tyranny in its most magnified form. Well, Winston Churchill had it right when he said socialism results in the equal sharing of misery. And if there's ever been two systems, socialism and communism, along with fascism in Hitler's socialist Democrat Germany, responsible for the murders of a couple hundred million people, they are the worst systems of government ever devised on the planet. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. Wasn't it also Churchill that said, I'm trying to remember exactly. I want to paraphrase him. Churchill said that capitalism was the worst system on earth, except compared to every other system, which is pretty much true. Let me see if I can catch up with the text line here this afternoon, because I'm in danger of falling behind here. Let me see if I can get back to the beginning. Bobby, they could build tunnels, or should they be called O'Connells after Ocasio-Cortez? You know how far across the English Channel, the channel between England and France is? And you know how far it is from New York to the coast of England? Let me put it this way. There's a substantial difference, okay? Bobby, with all this train talk replacing airplanes, it sounds like she wants us to move back to the 1800s. By the way, since we're going to need so many more rails for these zero-emission trains, which to the best of my knowledge don't exist, to eliminate the airplane emissions, who is going to build all of these steel rails, and how are they going to do that? Are they going to do that with wind power? Take a look at a steel mill sometime. AOC. Bobby, do you think AOC is as smart as a fifth grader? Henry from Fingerville. Seriously doubt it. She has a degree from an Ivy League college, which is about equivalent these days to a fifth grade education. Hey, Bobby, proof that walls work. Look at the Great Wall of China. There's not a single Hispanic there. I don't know how I would offer that as proof necessarily, but I see your point. Bob, AOC's transatlantic railroad would cost thousands of lives to build and probably thousands more using it. She's an idiot. Hey, Bob, how about this? Here's a great idea. Airplanes that would run off of cow farts. Yeah. Yeah, we just attach a bag to the cow and capture those for reuse. God. Bob, our forefathers did not intend for Muslims to worship in the United States. They're turning in their graves. I would disagree. I think, you know, Muslims worshiping in the United States is one thing. They're trying to use their religion as a construct to overtake our political system is something else entirely. Bobby, don't you think there should be a law that if you're running for president, you should give up your Senate seat in order to do that? Because they're out campaigning and not doing the jobs they were elected to do or being paid for. What do you think about that? I agree. Bobby, we got out of Michigan in 1980 and never looked back. All my relatives who live up there are miserable. See that Churchill quote. Good news, Bob. The Cousins Maine lobster truck is in Saluda, North Carolina today. I went the back way up through the watershed, and the scenery was wonderful. P.S. The lobster rolls are a bit pricey, but loaded with lobster. They'll be there at the Green River Brew Pub till 9 tonight from Jim in Easley. Thank you, Jim. I love those little crustaceans. I know they're bottom feeders like shrimp, but I'm willing to overlook it. 14 before 4, be right back.
Bob McLean!
Great to have you along the Monday, Can't Trust That Day edition of the Bobby Mac Show. In on the text line, Bobby, lobsters are the ocean's cockroaches. Tasty cockroaches, I'll grant you, but cockroaches nonetheless. I know, but I'm willing to overlook that. Bob, ending all air travel, guaranteed employment, or guaranteed payments if you're unwilling to work. Have not yet read Atlas Shrugged. Go out and get a copy now. Yeah. Who is John Galt? Bob, how many trees would have to die just to create the cross ties for all these new rail lines? Bob, Atlas Shrugged. Rail transportation was the only form that was cost effective. Who is John Galt? Good question. Think I just posed that. Bobby, if America's young people don't get their mind straight, the young will live in a communist America one day. That's what their elitist betters have in mind for them. Bobby, since the state brings in $1 billion more than they need in a year, at some point in the year that they've taken in as much as they need to cover the budget for that year, why don't they just call a tax holiday from that day on until the end of the year? What an economic boom that would be for people to have no taxes for 2 or 3 months. Yeah, I can see that happening. With a budget in South Carolina increasing by $1 billion every year, it's never enough for the people in Columbia. To the phones we go. David is next up. He is in Greenville. Hi, David, and welcome to the Bobby Mac Show.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
So far, so good.
I heard that. Well, what I have is we moved down here from North Carolina about 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, okay, it's a pretty nice place. Great kids, grandkids. I had a hybrid car for my wife. She drives around town really good.
Right.
Gets pretty good gas mileage, but not super.
Mm-hmm.
But come to find out, when I got my taxes this year for the car, you know what was coming. It was just kind of like, do they want me to use more gas or less gas?
Well, it's a fair question. And as I just got through saying about the good old boys in Columbia, it's not a matter of how much, because it is never enough. And the little talked about secret in the gas tax that they passed, the highest tax increase in South Carolina history, hidden in there that didn't get talked about much because everybody focused on the price at the pump, the new tax on electric vehicles.
You got it. And it's not a true electric. It's only a hybrid.
Right.
So in essence, I'm using more gas than the newer cars do that are not electric.
So they've got you coming and going because you're paying a higher gas tax and you're paying an additional tax for having a hybrid.
Oh, you got that right. And the worst part is I called my so-called congressmen, senators, local, and they're saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Well, in that case, maybe it's time for a new representative. Maybe it's time for a new senator. Oh, sorry. Cell phone fell out there. Didn't get an opportunity to get the response. Oh, Biggie last night. The Grammys were on. I haven't seen what the ratings were like. I don't think they had much competition last night, though. Moneypenny, did you watch the Grammys last night on CBS?
I did not.
Yeah, me either. 61st Annual Grammy Awards last night. Here's some of our explanations why we couldn't care less. The top reasons we did not watch the Grammys. We didn't watch because we don't think the Grammys properly represent what's new and relevant in music. Plus, we had tickets to the Kiss concert. We didn't watch the Grammys last night because we liked Lady Gaga better when she was dressing as an alien half-lobster and showing up in an anatomically correct amniotic sac. We didn't watch the Grammys last night because we were too busy burning old yearbooks that showed us in blackface. We didn't watch because we had to attend a powwow with Elizabeth Warren last night. We didn't watch because your R. Kelly And this is not a real good time to be streaming. You didn't watch because as a Laker fan, you witness enough ugliness at the Staples Center already. You didn't watch last night because you refused to watch until they give a Lifetime Achievement Award to Right Said Fred. Too sexy. You only watch CBS when Jim Nance is doing golf or Mark Harmon is kicking somebody's butt. You didn't watch because you're Liam Neeson. And half the nominees made you want to kill. You didn't watch the Grammys last night because the sight of Post Malone's face tattoos triggers bad memories of falling asleep at frat parties. And finally, you didn't watch the Grammys last night because your kids get annoyed when you keep asking them, who in the heck is that? There you go.
You can't make that stuff up.
That's our Grammys list. See you back with hour number two coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.